This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, the winner of best text of the day, hands down, is the texter that called Aaron Boone Karen Boone.
That's exactly what he is.
He's a Karen. Karen Boone. That's
he
what
is, he, yeah.
This bat is a scourge on society.
Officer, I don't like the looks of that bat. I don't think that bat belongs here. You need to prove that you belong here, bat.
Can I speak to the commissioner, please?
Yes. Oh no. You just stand right there with that bat.
He is.
And I'm going to find out right now whether you're allowed to be in this ballpark. Okay? Okay? With that bat.
Wait till your employer finds out. Taylor Trammell's like, I'm playing a baseball game for my employer right now.
Aaron's out here. Aaron's Karen Boone is out here doxing people, trying to get justice for America.
Taylor Trammell's personal information. Oh my God!
I think Karen Boone doth protest too much.
Yes,
I think there's a little bit of as much as he whines and complains and everything. When he starts casting allegations at Taylor Trammell over some weird bat conspiracy that he has. And maybe we need to check these Yankees bats a little
exactly
bit.
Exactly right. Well, he was on the Yankees last year, Taylor Trammell.
I know.
The same bat.
I think just as Carlos Beltran learned some of his dodgier ways with the Yankees.
Correct.
I think likewise, maybe he figures, maybe Taylor Trammell lifted some of the stuff we do.
That's exactly right. All right, does this question resonate, my question is, does this number resonate for you, Seth, when it comes to the matchup between the two head coaches on Sunday?
Well, we've already established that I'm astoundingly good at math.
Is it? Well, this
so,
is, this
yes.
Is,
this let's, is, let's find this out.
Nobody's asking you to calculate anything in this one.
Yeah.
Sean McVay is 1-4 in his last five games against a D'Amico Ryans coached defense, averaging 15.4 points per game. I think the only win was in the NFC title game back in 2021. So he's 1-4. Four regular season games in that playoff game in his last five games against defenses coached by D'Amico Ryans. Obviously, all those with the 49ers.
And those were they all Matt Stafford games? Matt Stafford
Good
was the quarterback
question.
For those years, the starting quarterback.
He
but
was.
I don't know if he played in all those games. That was the first question
I had. I'll go find that out. That's a great question. I should have found that out before I did.
I think that I don't want to read too much into it. I think D'Amico is the last person that would read into that or feel like he's got the secret sauce versus Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels a hell of a lot better than if Sean McVay were four and one against D'Amico Ryans. And the D'Amico Ryans had his worst defensive performances versus Sean McVay or something like that.
Yeah. What's the key for the defense for the like who's the head of the snake here that you're trying to cut
off? Well, the biggest thing about Stafford is that he's just last year at least he wasn't good under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything's going according to plan and he's got protection and time, he's very, very effective. So I think D'Amico's MO of just harassing the quarterback and getting upfield and making him uncomfortable, a lot of everything else all falls into place, which sounds like a standard game plan for any given week. It's just that's what D'Amico's defenses do a good job of, is they make quarterbacks really uncomfortable.
Yeah, here's Sean McVay earlier this week on what he's seeing on film from the Texans.
And when I say wasn't good under pressure, I mean more so than most quarterbacks last year. Like, in comparison to other quarterbacks, he really struggled under pressure. Obviously, most quarterbacks aren't great under pressure.
Yeah, they're good on paper and they're good on tape. So it's, D'Amico's a guy that I've always had a ton of respect for, but, you know, there's a very clear-cut philosophy. They've got the personnel to match how they want to be able to play with the way that their front rolls off the football. They've got dominant players on the second and third levels. They've got elite players on the outside. Obviously, Stingley gets much-deserved recognition, and I think Lassiter is an excellent corner opposite him. Petrie's is, good of a nickel as there is in terms of the physicality, and then when they get into their base defense, he can play safety. And obviously their edge guys get it deservingly so, a bunch of recognition, and they have a full rotation of guys inside and outside that we got to be ready to go for. So it's a great defense. You see why all the praise that they get is certainly well earned and deserved, and we got our work cut out for us, and that's what you love.
The Petrie part is interesting to me. I agree with everything you said about Stingley and Lassiter. I think Jalen Petrie is an impactful player. That might be the part that is, like, if McVay's looking for an Achilles heel, because I could see Stingley and Lassiter getting into a standoff against Nakua and Adams, and so, you know, because the Texans are going to man up, and that's where the Tutu Atwells of the world might have some sort of impact in this game.
I think what happens this year too is the evolution of Jalen Petrie and his role is going to be interesting, in that if you think about a guy that was, that's on this team now, Devontae Adams, that's on this Rams team, but who was with the Jets last year. The Texans were in a situation down near the red zone, and Jalen Petrie was one-on-one with Devontae Adams in the slot. The Texans blitzed. Henry Toa was about a half step away from really hitting Aaron Rodgers right, but Aaron Rodgers threw off platform to a wide-open Devontae Adams, who had shook Jalen Petrie. Like, Jalen Petrie versus Devontae Adams without safety help over the top, that's a rough matchup. So for me, it's how do you utilize Jalen Petrie the best, but also keep offenses guessing? And there's got to be times where it looks like Jalen Petrie's going to be manned up on Devontae Adams in the slot, but you switch out of that.
Yeah.
Or it is a blitz or whatever it might be. You can't give him a firm look at what that actually is. And some of that, it's Jalen Petrie getting more comfortable in that role, but then also Kalen Bullock being a year older and wiser, starting to understand, okay, on that play there, like, Jalen Petrie was shaded to the other side of the field, Kalen Bullock was shaded to the other side of the field, but, there's what the play says, and then also knowing where your greatest threats are.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what Kalen Bullock was supposed to do on that play, but as you get to be an older and savvier veteran, you start to anticipate those issues
a
little bit sooner, And maybe it's still a reception, but it's not a touchdown.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm supposed to do the things that prevent touchdowns.
He was shaded over to the side of Derek Stingley, which is like, that's the kind of, like, understanding where the blitz is coming from. And again, I don't know if, I'm not saying it was a mental error by Kalen Bullock or anything, but it was one of those more advanced level things where being a safety isn't always playing the play as it's called.
Yeah.
It's just diagnosing and knowing where the biggest threat is and maybe being there a couple steps earlier.
Yep. By the way, Matthew Stafford played in all of those games.
Yeah.
All five of those games.
Good,
so there was no, there's no Stetson Bennett. Well, Stetson, that would have been a little early for him. But there was.
I'm going to tell you what, the down and dirty side of all of this is, remember the term that I don't think that they probably really necessarily want to lean into publicly. I don't know if they call it this anymore, but in D'Amico's defenses, you have a kill zone.
Yeah.
And it's when you're playing, they probably don't call it that anymore, but that's the term that I'm going to keep using until the day I die. The high school football coaches, think about this, because you're not going to get away with this either, but you can maybe just think about it in your own mind. What do they always call, what do they always say in zone defense? That there's a soft spot, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is where the easy catches and the easy receptions are. Reframing it, no. That's not a soft spot. That's a kill zone.
Kill zone.
That is where we're going to invite the enemy in there, and then we are going to mow him down with great force and ferocity. We are going to train our M60s on Tyler Higbee and destroy him. And Tyler Higbee has been destroyed quite literally multiple times. When D'Amico Ryans was playing, there was one year where Tyler Higbee had to leave the game in multiple games versus the 49ers. Higbee had to leave the game like three times in one season because he was getting destroyed when he caught passes in the kill zone. So whatever they call the kill zone now, whatever they're allowed to get away with to where they won't get fined by the league or whatever, you need to exploit the kill zone with great prejudice.
Did you happen to see the clip that was floating around of Nico Collins on Chris Long's podcast, on the Greenlight podcast, where Chris Long asked him about the Texans defense, like, hey, what's it like?
He referenced the kill zone, didn't he?
He did. And Chris Long, maybe we'll go find the audio, but Chris Long asked Nico, like, what it's like to go against that defense every day. You know, that's a really good defense, really, you know, swarm, it's really hard hitting.
Yeah.
And Nico's like, yeah, man. And in classic, like very Nico, like low keys, like, kill zone, man. Kill zone.
No, you said don't get caught in the kill
don't
zone.
Don't get caught in the kill zone. Yeah.
I forgot he had said that. That was just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And they're still calling it the kill zone.
Yeah.
Not publicly, except for Nico.
Except for Nico on podcasts.
So I know, honestly, that's what – you go back and watch some of those 49ers versus Rams games when D'Amico was the defensive coordinator. They were – I felt bad for Ty. I wanted to call his mom and ask if she was okay.
Yeah.
Because they were just murdering him.
Yep.
Which is what you do in the kill zone.
Yeah.
My friends.
That's what happens in the kill zone. And Chris Long sounded like it was a foreign term to him. He's like, okay, tell me about this kill zone. And Nico's like,
no, I'd never heard it before until somebody had referenced it when D'Amico first came out.
Yeah.
I did a whole YouTube video on it. Look it up on YouTube. I did a video titled D'Amico Ryan's defense has a kill zone.
Kill zone. Yeah. And Nico, just the way Nico answers the question is so great. He's like, linebacker depth? Don't want to go there.
No getting caught in front of the linebackers.
Yeah, linebacker depth. All right, continuing, here's Matthew Stafford on the Texans defense.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they got really good players. Got guys up front that can rush the passer, do a nice job of stopping the run, and then I think their back end is as talented as anybody in the league. They do a heck of a job with, you know, marrying rushing coverage, which is what you want as a defense. So, you know, I got a ton of respect for them. Obviously, played at a really high level last year and have a lot of the same players and added a few more. So, you know, it'll be a huge challenge for us.
Yeah, my back hurts. That's what he said after that.
He sounded almost rushed to do that answer. Like they almost at the beginning, he's like, he sounded like he was breathing a little heavy. Like they stopped him in the hallway to ask this question or something like
now,
that.
Now, both these teams have done the pregame. This has been annoyingly polite this entire week. Not a single player has given a quote that wasn't incredibly complimentary of the other side of the ball.
And yet I was able to find five reasons to hate the Los Angeles Rams for 825 today.
Good. You know, yeah. I've had a hard time this week.
I know you have. I know you have. I'm here for you. No, we're going to do all the segments. We're going to do our first circle of swarm of the season will happen in about 10 minutes or so. We've got five reasons I hate you at about 825 today. And we're going to do Take a Mania at 9 o'clock today. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the show, man. Here's one more from Sean McVay, flipping over to the Texans' offensive side of the ball and C.J. Stroud's progression as a quarterback.
Well, you know, I'm not exactly familiar with what they were doing in those first couple years. I know he looked pretty damn good, and he looked like he had real clarity and an ownership of what they were trying to get done. I'll see if I can call Kaylee and see which audibles that he's going to give him for this game so that we could be ready. But, you know, I think that's just the natural progression for any of these quarterbacks. He's a stud. He's a guy that, you know, has earned the recognition and the praise that he gets. And so we've got to be ready to play rules ball, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, Brock. It is the first week. I'm looking forward to watching our defense fly around. And they've got great players. You know that they'll be able to, you know, be productive in both phases. And so we've got to be ready to roll.
Okay, so there will be no Christian Kirk. We should mention that.
And he's lying about not knowing what CJ was doing in previous years. Because he's watched some film from last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were doing last year, really. I know even though they got a coordinator that I would have been familiar with where he came from with the Kyle
totally
Shanahan
playing
and all that.
Coy.
And even though I've watched like all 16 games this offseason of CJ Stroud last year, I'm not really familiar what they were doing
last
year.
The annoying guy that walks up to people and just quizzes them on things because he already knows the answers to it.
Yeah.
Hasn't watched any CJ Stroud film over the last year.
I'm not really, you know how they could have got him with that one? When he says, I'm not really familiar with what they're doing last year. they Wizzy. Could have asked the very next question. They could have been like, hey, what was your favorite drive to watch of CJ Stroud last year?
Yes.
He's like, wow, it was a 16 play drive in the Chiefs game. And, and this is the coverage he was seeing. And this is the adjustment he made. And it was really cool. I thought the.
He would not have been able to help himself to show off that he had that knowledge. 100%.
He would have had to show off that he remembered an entire drive from some particular game.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
So we're going to do Circle of Swarm here in a minute. They the Athletic had their hope-o-meter that we touched on earlier this week. And I was where they poll fans from all 32 teams. And the Athletic, they make you say who you represent. Like, I'm on there as a Texan fan. So it's this, the data is actually there's good integrity to the data, at least in terms of the voters being actual fans of the team they're voting about. 91% of Texan fans are optimistic about the upcoming season. 9% are pessimistic. So in the spirit of that, Seth, I came up with my three biggest reasons for optimism and three biggest reasons for pessimism. And let's see if you agree with these. My first one, and this is in no particular order, for optimism is the offseason that CJ Stroud had. That this was a different offseason for him. He wasn't out there doing all the podcasts. He seemed, by all accounts, from Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud had a really good offseason. It sounded like, if you read between the lines, there were conversations had with the type of offseason that he should have going into his third year here.
Oh, you think so?
I do. I feel like they talked to him, maybe not forbidding him from doing things, but maybe just, I mean, he's watching a lot of, I know the film thing on the field is different than how to handle things off the field. But I'm guessing there were some conversations in the midst of these Brady film sessions that they're having about how Tom also went about his business the other 16 hours of the day when he wasn't in the building. Maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I think CJ, CJ at the very end of the season, after the last playoff game, at the end of the postseason, gave a, kind of himself, I don't know if he criticized himself, but he just basically said that, he didn't know what he didn't know going into his second year about how truly difficult it was. And I think that he probably almost in a, I think he might have just made that change himself. Like, I don't know.
Either way, however it happened, I'm enthused about it.
I mean, because it's tricky when you talk about this stuff. You can take anybody, like any super successful person in the history of any field, and they're always going to say, I'm going to do something differently this year. In any given year, I need to improve on this year.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't mean that they were like wholly unprofessional or anything, or weren't working the previous year. It's just they're going to tweak it that much more.
Yeah,
but I think he went into this offseason kind of probably, he actually said he needed to learn where to pare some things down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think some of the people, or the people that weren't necessarily truly supportive of him, or they were just kind of hangers-on, I think he just got rid of a lot of dead weight, either in terms of time management or actual human beings.
Yeah, so that's number one for me. Number two, you can sit here and go, I'm optimistic because the defense is going to be really good. And that, yeah, the defense is going to be amazing. I'm trying to have reasons that maybe are a little below the surface. This defense caused a ton of turnovers last year. They either led the league in interceptions or overall turnovers, one or the other, but they were up near the top in those. I think the biggest thing for me is a lot of times when teams have high turnover margins or they cause a lot of turnovers, there's a tendency by the Bill Barnwells of the world to go, well, those things tend to regress and you don't have as many the following year because fumbles are fluky and interceptions are a little random and this and that. Man, go back and watch the turnovers the Texans caused. Like, there's way less randomness to their turnovers than there are to the average defense's turnovers.
I would say that some of the randomness last year actually lowered their turnover rates.
And you think they were on the wrong end of the randomness?
Some of the dropped interceptions and what have you. Yeah. I think when it's the nothing causes turnovers as much as a pass rush for two reasons: one, strip sacks, and two, forced interceptions or pressures that lead to interceptions. So when you have a good pass rush and when you've got defensive backs that have ball skills and just overall coverage skills, you're on average going to have more interceptions than the other team. So what's the actual number? That's going to fluctuate a little bit from year to year. Recovered fumbles is very dicey. Sometimes, some years you just have bad luck on recovered fumbles and whatever.
Yep.
I think there's no reason not to believe that they're still going to be, they're going to take the ball away a lot.
Yeah.
Do they have the second most interceptions in the league? I don't know. I don't care. Like, it's a, are they first or are they 10th? It's still, they're still both really good.
If there was an advanced stat out there for the flukiness of turnovers, there probably is. Yeah. I'm guessing there is.
Oh, no, there, 100%.
Yeah. I would guess that the flukiness of the Texans' turnovers was near the bottom of the league. They got playmakers on the, especially on the back end and at the defensive end positions. So that's number two. Number three is they at least seem to have established a grittier culture on the offensive side of the football. And that's a start. Yeah. I don't know if that means they go from being the 19th highest scoring offense in the NFL to being the 9th highest scoring offense. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I at least feel better about the want to and the grit on the offensive side of the ball. And we'll see where it goes. We're just talking about optimism. I'm not predicting anything that they're going to be a top five offense, but I feel better about the culture on that side of the football than I did a year ago.
The Texans have a 91% optimism rate?
Yes.
The Indianapolis Colts have a 6.8% optimism rate.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite quote from a Colts pessimist was, at this rate, they're going to keep putting up that Andrew Luck retirement graphic until the end of time.
Oh, because they keep cycling through quarterbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, all the quarterbacks they've had since Andrew Luck. And then here we go, because they get to add a new one to the mix this year.
Yeah, they do. Daniel Jones.
Every year, they've only had 1 year where they've had the same starting quarterback for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And it was Anthony Richardson.
Last 2 years.
Who would just get injured at any given time. Yeah,
it wasn't good.
I mean, they haven't had a no. It's been really, really bad.
Yeah, like who's been the best out of them? I guess has been Philip Rivers, probably. I mean, they won a division that year. Philip Rivers probably the best out of all those, I'm guessing. So those are my three reasons for optimism. Would you add anything to that? Do you have anything like the reasons for optimism aside from CJ, grittier things, turnovers on the defensive side of the football?
Nothing that I want to get in the way of getting to the circle of swarm for.
Okay. I'll go through my three biggest reasons for pessimism very quickly then. I'll believe the O-line is better when I see it. Joe Mixon's situation is a reason for pessimism, I think, until we see that they can run the football effectively. Plus, we've got two hamstring injuries already in the receiving core. For a team that's had bad the Texans have had bad injury luck the last couple of years, awful injury luck 2 years ago, but not great last year either, and now all of a sudden – two slot guys with hamstring injuries and Joe Mixon with a mystery lower leg injury.
That's the rubber hits the road, obviously, this week. And this is where all of my fears and concerns about the offense in general have started to bubble up. And I'm starting to lose sleep because of it. It's that I think the scheme is better. I think they're better coached on the offensive line. When I say scheme, I'm talking about as it pertains to the offensive line specifically. I think they're doing it's a much cleaner operation right now. But at the end of the day, you still have individual battles that you have to win. And this Rams defensive front just doesn't have a weak spot. With their five guys that they line up on the defensive line,
yep,
every single one of them is a literal headache.
Yeah.
And they're gonna give offensive players actual headaches by beating them and tackling the ball carrier. So when it's Jake Andrews one-on-one versus Puna Ford or Braden Fisk or any of those guys, there's a lot of question marks there. So there's going to be one-on-one battles at times, and that's where I just don't know about some of
these
guys.
Yeah, that's totally fair. So O-line, the injury situation early on here. My last one, I think this is a team full of dogs. If they're listening right now, I don't want to think that they don't have a big kennel going on over there with a bunch of dogs running around, a lot of dogs on the team. I'm not sure they're killers yet, though. Like, until I see them not cough up two or three games a year that they're not supposed to cough up, they play in a lot of for a team that's this talented, they play in a lot of close games. They probably shouldn't be as close as they are, and it's been this way for 2 years now. And last year it bit them, because some of those games that they were winning in D'Amico's first year, where they were like 8-3 in one score games, they weren't winning those games last year. They're losing to Green Bay on a last second field goal. They're losing to the Titans when they sack Will Levis 8 times. They're losing to the Lions when they're intercepting Jared Goff 5 times. Until I see them not doing these things, until I see them in the fourth quarter of a game that's a one-score game, and they are putting margin in between them and their opponent and not allowing them back into the game, they're still the team that's just got a good survival instinct, not a great killer instinct.
Right, and I mean, a lot of that, especially versus the bad teams or the teams where you have the games where you have a lead, is just some semblance of a rushing attack instead of being one of the worst offenses in rushing offenses in the league. Can you actually close games out?
Yeah,
and then the games like the Green Bay game, the Lions game especially. It's that, man, I don't want to be in this conversation of, hey, they really put up a good fight versus the Lions. Right, yeah, you intercepted them 5 times at home and somehow found a way to lose that game.
Yeah.
Like, that's I don't want to be in those conversations anymore.
No, man.
I don't want to have to see my beloved fellow Texans fans angrily defending the Texans by saying, they almost beat the Lions.
That's right.
Like, no. You picked off Jared Goff 5 times. It should have been a blowout.
There's no, not to go all Bill O'Brien, there is no almost parade. You remember? Mm-hmm. Remember when Bill O'Brien said, we're the almost team? We almost got the pick. We almost did that. It's kind of right. Can't be the almost team, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.